People of God, submit or submerge. That's the topic for today. This first letter of Peter, this passage is a very clear and pretty powerful summary of, I guess, what it is to be a Christian, or what it is, or how it is to practice being a Christian. But it's also pretty long. It's quite a long passage, and I struggled trying to find a way to be able to cover all the stuff that's in it. So I hope that as I go through, I won't be glossing over too many things. But
if you've got your Bibles open to that passage, we'll get straight into it. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. In this passage, Peter is appealing to his readers. It's an appeal to us now. But what is it appealing? The central verse that I want to focus on this morning is verse 17. And verse 17 goes like this: honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. I'm going to use that as my, I guess, the linchpin in this passage. And if you guys would like to keep that in mind as we go through, that would be helpful. How does this fit in, though, with the topic of submit, not submerge? The way I see it, Peter breaks it down into three areas. He has three main appeals that he wants to share with the people. His first appeal is submit to God. Secondly, submit to authority. And the third one is submit to each other. These are his three appeals found in this passage. And I hope that as I talk, I'm able to explain just a little bit of each. But also, in the end, I want to be able to show you that it's not three different things that we're doing. It's not three separate areas, but it's one overall command. The core of this passage, I believe, lies, as it does in the whole Bible, in whether or not we voluntarily submit to God. When we became believers, we became God's people on earth.
When we became God's people on earth, we became his witnesses. We became the people that would tell others about him,
about the life he wants us to lead, and about his will for us. So when Peter explains to us that we are to submit to authority, and that we are to submit to one another as well, Peter is actually telling us, no, you are to submit to God. It is because of our faith in Jesus that Peter says in verse 11, we are aliens and strangers in this world, and as such, we need to live innocent lives, blameless. So as the people, the unbelievers among us, if they ever accuse us of anything, our lives will speak for themselves, and God will be glorified to them. And so Peter appeals to his readers, and he appeals to us, saying, if we do this, if we are to live blameless lives, we need to submit to God by submitting to authority and each other. Again, the core of this message is submission to God. It doesn't matter who's in power over us. It's not the person creating the policies in the government. It's not the person giving us work. It's not the person in control over how much overtime we have to work or how much leave we receive. The person in authority over us, it's not the teachers giving us homework or controlling how much recess time we have or how difficult exams are. In the end, it's not to them that you are submitting to, but to God. And Paul agrees with this when he says in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 2, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. All authority, whether at school, dealing with teachers, principals, coordinators, or at home dealing with parents, all authority is placed there by God. Whether at work, dealing with bosses, overseers, supervisors who may not care for you, your submission to them or not reflects on God. If you follow along in the 1 Peter passage, verse 18 to 20. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. We aren't slaves, I know. At least not many of us. Chris likes to think that we are. Sorry, Chris. But we do have bosses. We do have parents. We do have teachers. We do have those in authority over us that God has placed there. I also know that many of us won't have Christian bosses. So we need to be aware that how we act towards them reflects on who God is. And if we have immoral, if we have unjust, if we have cruel supervisors, Peter calls us to endure, to not repay them in kind, to endure, because that is to our credit. But how is it to our credit to endure reprimands that we deserve? How does that reflect on the God that we claim to follow? We are called to this not by an unfair God who wants to see us in agony. We are called to this by Jesus himself, who endured exactly the same thing at the hands of authorities, and he committed no sin in reaction. If you follow along in verse 22 to 25, it says of Jesus, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. What other authorities are there in our lives? For the Lord's sake, we submit to them, to every authority instituted among men. It's for the Lord's sake. If we step back and we read from verse 13, for the Lord's sake, accept authority. For the Lord's sake. Where do we stand in regards to authority? Because Jesus made it quite clear how he expects us to respond to it. And Peter makes it clear that in submitting to authority, we submit to God. Titus 3 verse 1 reads, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work. Remind them. And this brings us into the next part of this passage, Peter's third appeal, to submit to one another. And depending on circumstances, it can either be easier or harder than submitting to authority. And being the person that I am, a young single man, I know exactly what marriage is all about. I know everything there is to know. I realize this, so I'm going to impart some wisdom. No, I know nothing about marriage, apart from maybe that child's perspective of one. And I also, I don't know how to deal with circumstances or the issues that may come up within a marriage. And I also know that there are women here who come here alone, without their husbands. It'll be an odd day when their husband comes. I also know that that's the case with men in this congregation. For whatever reason, they don't come. It may be because they don't share your faith. Or it may be because they do share your faith, but they don't put it as the priority that you do. Or maybe both spouses do come, but it is more real for one of you than it is for the other. And that is another cause for friction. Well, Peter has something to say to both spouses in these few verses, if you want to read with me, from chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. He says, "Wives, in the same way, accept authority of your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives, without a word by their wives' conduct. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, do not adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair or by wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by accepting the authority of their husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You have become her daughters as long as you do what is good and never lets fear alarm you." I don't necessarily know how husbands and wives feel about this passage. I know I feel a bit strange when it comes to authority of men and women within a marriage. When God says that men should be the head of the house, and so I imagine that others do as well. But it always makes me feel better when I remember that it's a two-way deal. Wives, submit to husbands. Husbands, respect and consider your wives. God loves both the husband and the wife equally. I'm sure we all agree with that we are all made equal in his sight. And it is for his sake that we need to step up to the responsibility he has given us. And it is so much easier when we remember that it is for God that we do this, and out of love that we hold for one another. Peter has two things to say to women, and I think all women, whether or not they're married, can get something from this. One, be submissive to husbands. This is an even touchier topic now as we come into this day and age where women's rights and equality is such a huge issue. I was thinking the other day as I was reading through this that my parents have a very strange marriage because my mom seems to be the one making all the decisions. At least that's how it is out in the open. And I thought, well, this is strange. This isn't like the biblical marriage, is it? And then while I was sitting writing this talk, actually, they were having a conversation at the table at the same time. And my mom asked my dad, my mom turns to my dad and she says, "When are we leaving on our trip? Can we wait for after lunch or can we just go, or are we just going to go after coffee?" And my dad was like, "No, not waiting for lunch, going after coffee." And I was like, yes, Christian marriage. I think my dad is taking it back. No, I honestly don't think that that's the case at all. I think they have a very, very good relationship. But I want to bring your attention to verse 1 of chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands. In the same way? In the same way as what? It says, we are meant to accept the authority. And how do we accept authority? Why do we accept authority? It is for the Lord's sake that we accept authority. So when he says in the same way, I believe he's referring back to in the same way as you accept authority for the Lord's sake, wives, you're to submit to your husbands for the Lord's sake. This isn't to say that God thinks men are better. We are both equal in his eyes. We are both made in his likeness, and he loves us both the same. But we are to do this for the Lord's sake. How does it reflect on God when from the very beginning he says that men are the head of the household, and yet Christian wives don't submit to their husbands? What sort of message is that sending as witnesses of God? For his sake, submit to husbands. And if any of them do not believe, they may be won over, not necessarily through words, but also through your actions. The second thing he encourages wives to do is to show their beauty. to show your beauty. And he's obviously not talking here of spending hours in front of the mirror, putting on your makeup and jewelry, or going down to Westfield buying new clothes each and every week so as you look fresh and beautiful. Peter says beauty should not come from outward adornment. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Again, you are not doing this foremost for your husband, but for God. In God's sight, a wife submitting to her husband is a woman submitting to him. In God's sight, a wife submitting to her husband is a woman submitting to him. And husbands, it's up to us, or you, to be respectful of your wife. Respect them for who they are, as fellow people of God, as fellow images of God. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. In the same way? In the same way as what? In the same way, and for the same reasons, that your wives are submitting to you. In the same way, and for the same reasons, that you submit to authority. For God's sake. For the Lord's sake, you should respect your wives, and you should be considerate towards them. For the Lord's sake. You see, it's all for the Lord's sake. We submit to him in doing these things. We submit to God by submitting to authority. We submit to God by submitting to one another. And if we don't, we submerge back into the world. A world who won't see Jesus reflected in us. A world who won't see God. I want to use the tail end of our reading as a summarization to finish off. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Finally, all of you have unity of the Spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Submit or submerge? That's the question. It's very practical, isn't it? Submit to authority for the Lord's sake. Submit to one another for the Lord's sake. Or submerge, and let any reflection of God we might cast be stripped away, and the whole world will lose sight. If we submit to authority, if we submit to one another, we are submitting to God. If we want to submit to God, we are caring for one another, loving each other. We need to be compassionate and humble, just as Jesus is. We may be ridiculed. We may be treated unfair. We might be taken advantage of, just as Jesus was. But we are not to repay evil for evil. We are not to repay insult for insult. But Jesus, just as Jesus did, we are to give blessing. Just as Jesus did, we are to submit all to God. And in doing so, submit to authority and to each other in the loving care and kindness that he meant for us to do. Let me pray. Living God, for most of us here, this would just be a reminder. It's not the first time we've heard this stuff. For most of us here, we've grown up with this belief. We've been taught this from a very young age. And so, Lord God, we ask for your inspiration
in us to be able to renew this way of life again. Submitting to you by submitting to authority, by submitting to one another. And in submitting to you, Lord God, that we might be able to show the world that you live. We might be able to show the world that you are still relevant. We might be able to show the world that you still care and you want to know everyone else. You want everyone else to know you. Lord God, may we, as people of God, as your witnesses here on earth, humble ourselves so that we might submit to you, that we might submit to authority and to one another in the loving care and kindness that you taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.